You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's once again Personal Finance Monday time, and we are once again taking a look at some of the costs that are important to you and I in our everyday lives. We are looking at the actual cost of owning a vehicle. If you remember last time, towards the end of last month, we looked at financing your first vehicle and what was required in that respect. But this time we're going to look a little deeper at just what you need to know once you have the vehicle, or once you are considering financing a particular vehicle, how you then maintain the vehicle, and all of the other costs that we might not know of. And once again, helping me through this discussion is Head of Financial Planning and Advice at Momentum, Bertie Nell. Good evening, Bertie. Once again, nice to speak to you. Let's start with some of the aspects around the finances. We spoke about things around balloon payments and installments and the like in our previous conversation, but what are the costs that we might not be aware of that are there even before we take ownership of the vehicle, even before we drive it off the showroom floor?
Yeah, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for the opportunity again to you and your listeners. Good evening. I think it's important when you're buying a vehicle, as rightfully pointed out, it is limited options for a person or select a few in South Africa that can afford to buy a vehicle cash, or whatever I can call it. So normally a lot of these are financed, but then there are also things in the initial contract before you're actually just purchasing a vehicle. There's a lot of extras that sometimes gets added to this purchase price, which impacts not only the payment that you make monthly, but also purchasing or the interest rate charges or financing charges over time. And some of those we would see there's a lot of initiation fees to get the vehicle registered, to get it through the licensing authorities, etc. To get a, so there's a cost. It's not significant, but it all adds up. Then there are also, before you're driving it out, there's all these features of having additional or optional extras added to the vehicle, like smash and grab and all these other supplements that normally gets offered to you by a dealer, and it's very nice to have. But I think one needs to take into account what these might add up as well. And yeah, the one thing, it's normally in there, but it's the VAT inclusive components. So some of those is VATable, and it normally should be stated in that. But it's all part of that thing before you take actually a registration. So I think it's important before going off the showroom floor with a car, you need to have that. But over and above that, that's also required by the financer, whether it's one of the financial institutions requiring that there's or insurance cover on that vehicle, which we can add in a bit more detail, because there might be two components of insurance. The one is insuring the vehicle, but the other one is also insuring the purchaser to cover in the event of unforeseen circumstances or events happening to the purchaser.
Yes, but let's dig into the insurance, because that was the next thing I was going to say, is for a lot of the financed vehicles, you are not actually allowed to even drive the vehicle until you can prove or confirm that you've added insurance to the vehicle prior to you stepping into the vehicle and even switching the car on.
Yeah, I think that's an important one you normally get when you purchase, whether it's a brand spanking new vehicle or whether it's a second-hand one, but you need to provide, and if it's financed, that there's a confirmation by the short-term insurer with whomever you insured or wherever you obtain the quotation for the insurance, to provide confirmation of that insurance to the financial institution before the dealer will release those. So there's also various options of what you want to cover, but not, a lot of it is more covering the value of the vehicle. And in the fine print, there's a lot of what gets covered for. Is it covered for the full purchase price? Is it covered for the financing price, or whatever the case might be? And in certain instances, there might be a shortfall that needs to be covered. Whereas if something happens to that vehicle, whether it's in a collision or whatever, and it most probably might be written off. I had a personal experience a while back, fortunately, where the vehicle was 13 months old, and if somebody elected it to write it off a month earlier, I would have been fortunate enough to get a new vehicle and replaced. But as it is outside certain terms, it might limit the amount of cover that needs to be paid. It might be only paid at whatever the book value of that vehicle is worth, and there might be a shortfall between what you actually financed and what the vehicle was worth at the moment of the incident.
Bertie,
and
let's...
that needs to be covered by the short term.
Absolutely, the shortfall cover. Yes, the shortfall cover is so important. We often forget that. And in some cases, I know insurance companies also then force you to take comprehensive cover as opposed to just a regular type of cover on the vehicle. So that's always worth looking into. Bertie, let's move to the other costs around maintenance and servicing of the vehicle. More often than not, some vehicles, depending on the manufacturer, come with a service plan with the option to upgrade to a maintenance plan. I know, for example, when I purchased my vehicle, I immediately went for the maintenance plan because that seemed like that was a more comprehensive solution for that.
Yeah, I think mainly, I think the one thing that we, before we get to the actual plans, the difference between a service and a maintenance plan is to actually look at the, whether it's, if it's a, vehicle, a new vehicle, there's normally a guarantee attached or a warranty attached to that vehicle. And that will imply that if something happens or from with that vehicle, that the manufacturer or the dealership is actually obliged to honor that guarantee. But unfortunately, that guarantee is only applicable or for a specific period of time or for a specific mileage or whatever for the vehicle that exists. So I think that's standard with a lot of the new vehicles you purchase, that there's a warranty or guarantee attached to that vehicle if something goes wrong. But over and above that, you also need to maintain that vehicle. It needs to go for regular service intervals, and normally it depends on, nowadays it differs, but anything between 10 to 30,000 kilometers for regular services of that vehicle. And I think that's something that people don't necessarily take into account. What is the cost of maintaining this vehicle and keep it on the road and actually to honor that warranties if a warranty is applicable? Because if you don't service your vehicle on regular intervals, it might have an impact on that warranty that might be, well, expiry or not be applicable. So I think, getting back to your question, the difference between service and maintenance plans is a lot of optionals when you purchase a vehicle that you might have a service plan on that vehicle for a certain, again, mileage or certain annual or time period. And that's basically looking at the service component of that vehicle for regular stuff. And so, some of those, it would be a service plan generally covers all costs involved with regular scheduled servicing, such as the cost of labor and parts. But some of those parts will specifically be excluded, like anything that's wear and tear. But so I think it's important, or even your big service opportunities like V-belts or wiper blades, etc., brake pads, that's normally not covered by that service plan. But then on the other side, you get a maintenance plan, which is a longer period of time, which is more extensive and more pricey, but it covers a lot of more incidents. But again, wear and tear and those type of things would not normally be included. But as a rule of thumb, whatever is not covered by the service plan is covered by the maintenance plan. So your vehicle has not exceeded the plan's year or mileage. It covers, for instance, the labor and parts, cost of a service of a vehicle, but also replacement of items damaged or worn out for wear and tear. So it is a more extensive or a more comprehensive type of offering, but it's also, it might be a bit more to pay for that maintenance plan.
Mm. Bertie, the biggest component in terms of maintenance, I think, or ongoing maintenance and owning a vehicle has to be the fuel costs. Fuel prices are constantly going up. We know people are constantly getting things like garage cards or fuel cards. How big of a component does this become in terms of factoring into the decision that you make when you're looking to purchase a vehicle, as opposed to then obviously the ongoing maintenance and ownership of that vehicle going forward?
Yeah, I think it's senses to buy a vehicle and you can't afford to put it on the road or drive it and fill the tank. And unfortunately, without any fuel in it, except for the new hybrid vehicles. But in saying that, you need to fill that tank. And as you say, the one unexpected or unknown in South Africa is what's happening with fuel prices. I mean, we see this like a yo-yo effect. Some months it's going up, some months it's going down. Whether you're driving a diesel or petrol vehicle will differ. But I think in the long run, you need to budget in your normal budget, what will it cost? And it all depends on how far you travel to work every day, for instance. But taking that into account, because without having a proper budget and for the making provision for these let's call it not capital intensive assets, but the running cost of that vehicle is so critically important, especially when you don't know what the fuel price is going to do next month and what the rand and all these other factors is going to do on impact that it might have on the fuel prices.
Bertie, speaking of things that you want to sort of prepare for and save for and budget for, is it worthwhile to set up something like a separate little savings account and throw in a bit of money there for things like tires and other things that might not be covered by your standard maintenance plans and that sort of thing, just while you have the vehicle?
Yeah, well, Jimmy, I think it's critically important in any planning environment that you save for the unforeseen events, and something like tires or replacing brake pads or the odd cam belt or V-belt type of replacements can be a significant amount. So any attempt to soften that blow over time is critical. And I think one of the ways to do it is to over and above your normal expenses, make provision for these unforeseen expenses, which one of them may be the events of replacing some of the parts and stuff on your vehicle to keep it on the road and to keep it in a roadworthy condition. Because I think that's also an important thing. I saw a scary fact that 70% of vehicles on our roads currently are not insured for an event. So I think it's not only for your sake, but also for the other parties on the road that you actually need to provide for these, and also make sure that you have a roadworthy vehicle on the road, so that in the event of any claims or whatever, that there's no blame to be taken or put on your case, where a short-term insurer might not consider to pay a claim.
Always important to remember the real costs of owning a vehicle. They go beyond just the purchase price that you see in the window when you are shopping. Thanks so much for those insights, Bertie. We'll leave it at that. Bertie Nell, who is Head of Financial Planning and Advice at Momentum, joining me to reflect on the real cost of owning a vehicle in this week's Personal Finance segment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.